to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast. That's the Fantasy Footballers Podcast for the nasty people out there. Oh, brother.
Woo!
I am your host for today, Mike the Fantasy Hitman Wright, joined by Jason Moore, Andrew Holloway, getting some R&R before the big marathon that is the NFL football season.
The sprint of 7 months.
Yes. Yeah, it's not really a marathon if you have to go full speed the whole time.
But we like to do it.
Oh, it's fantastic. And that whole brother, we got some news right before the show started. Thank freaking goodness.
Yeah, we're recording a little bit early on this episode. And if we had recorded a little bit earlier,
yeah,
we might have needed to redo some things.
Because we're talking about the NFC South today.
Oh, yeah, that's got the Panthers in it, right?
Yeah, it does.
With the Sam Darnold.
Yeah, the Sam Darnold-led Carolina Panthers, or formerly known as the Sam Darnold-led Panthers. Some quick reminders here before we jump into the show. Ultimate Draft Kit, it's available. It's going to be updated as soon as we are done recording, and we will get all the stat changes in there. That is our draft tool that lives through the entirety of the draft season. It is July. That means a Saturday podcast will be dropping into your podcast player of choice. And so the three shows, and we jump into five starting in August. If you want to follow us on the socials for things like this breaking news and our reactions, Twitter @FFBallers, @AndyHolloway, @JasonFFL, @FFHitman. Those are our personals. And we are also over on Instagram with those personals as well. So should I hit the button?
Hit the button.
Breaking news.
The Carolina Panthers are acquiring Baker Mayfield from the Browns for a 2024 conditional fifth round draft pick. It is pending a physical, which Baker did have the shoulder problem, but I don't see a reason this doesn't go through. The teams are going to split the financials. This seems like a best-case scenario for both teams. For the Cleveland Browns, it was done after they went and they got Deshaun Watson and all of the things that were involved in that trade. It was done. Baker was never taking another snap for the Cleveland Browns, even if Deshaun Watson receives the suspension for this year. The Carolina Panthers were stuck with Sam Darnold with a terrible contract situation, knowing he is not the future for the Carolina Panthers after a 5-win season, mm-hmm, with offensive skill players and a good young defense, and they only managed 5 wins. So here we go. Let's react to Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I mean, this was certainly in the cards the second that the Browns started kicking the tires on Deshaun Watson. Remember, before they even got him, Baker came out with this, like,
yeah, he knew it was done.
Yeah, it was like a goodbye letter. Same thing happened with Matt Ryan when the Falcons were close. Yep. He's like, okay, I'm out of here.
Yep.
But for the Panthers here, and we're going to talk more about the entirety of the Panthers as we get into the meat of today's segment. But I mean, the predominant name to think of here is DJ Moore.
Yes,
DJ Moore has been an unbelievably great NFL talent. He's, you know, a pinnacle of athleticism, even among the NFL athletes. He has gotten the job done, 1,100 plus yards. He's super young, but it's always been, he doesn't have a quarterback that can really maximize his talents, and his ceiling has been very, very, very limited. His floor's high, but his ceiling is low. And now you go from Darnold to Baker, and the question is that enough of an upgrade? It is an upgrade. Darnold is definitely worse than Baker. Baker did not have the season he had a couple years ago by luck. He has pushed through injury, played injured this last year, got the Browns to the playoffs, won a playoff game. Before we started recording here, we already saw the lines moving. You know, DK Sportsbook, we were – looking at the win totals for not just the Panthers, but the Falcons. Like, this is a big change going from Darnold to Baker. But is Baker good enough that the hope and the hype will come through for DJ Moore?
Here's what I will say. So DJ Moore, the fifth most targets and receiving yards for a wide receiver before turning 25 in NFL history, and yet dead last in receiving touchdowns amongst wide receivers with 300 receptions in their first 4 years in the NFL. The guy has had unbelievably bad touchdown luck. And just going like a quick scan here, Sam Darnold, in his four-year career as a starter, has never surpassed the 20 passing touchdown threshold. 9 last year, granted, you know, it's some injury, but essentially 11 games started. The year before that for the New York Jets in 12 games, 9 passing touchdowns. Meanwhile, Baker Mayfield, who had a down statistical year this past year with only 17, 3 of his 4 years as a starter, has surpassed the 20 touchdown marks. He broke the rookie touchdown record his rookie year, which has now been broken by Herbert. But, like, you're at least getting in the mid-range of 20 passing touchdowns. Meanwhile, Sam Darnold not surpassing 10 last year, despite having DJ Moore and these guys available to him. So I think it's a tremendous upgrade. I think that Baker is a starting quarterback in the NFL. I won't go as far as to say, like, he's not great. We have seen too much fluctuation for him, which, okay, I'll make some apologies here again for Baker. Year one, again, breaks the rookie touchdown record, but he's dealing with all of Hugh Jackson's ineptitude as a head coach. Next year, it's Freddie Kitchens, one and done as a professional coach. You move into Kevin Stefanski, who is a run-first head coach in the NFL. Like, you've been switching systems basically his entire career. So I do think that this is a big upgrade for the Carolina Panthers. They are very interesting. Jason is looking at me. Hit the button.
Breaking news.
We have more.
More breaking news. This is tweeted out by Mike Garofolo. Sam Darnold had a good spring for the Panthers, and they're by no means handing the job to Baker Mayfield. There will be a training camp competition. Yeah, right! That is the biggest crock of nonsense I've ever heard.
What are we doing?
That's why...
What are we doing?
Before the show, I still, despite so much empirical evidence, I still stood up for Matt Ja Rule. I still said I believe that he can be a good head coach.
You did.
I am having a hard time sticking with that. If they're going to go with the... You can't trade for Baker and then be like, for a competition.
Stop
it. What nonsense. The sportsbook lines are changing because it's obvious that this is an upgrade. So whatever news comes out that it is a competition, throw all of that in the garbage, print it out, wipe your butt with it, flush it down the toilet. But, you know, if it's printer paper.
Yeah, don't do that.
That's going to be rough.
That's going to be some.
Thank you, Deucers. Deucers never miss a moment.
We have toilet sound effects at the ready.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of our thing. But there will be no training camp battle. Unfortunately, that means that you won't have him necessarily getting all of the reps, all of the starts.
That's what I was going to go with.
Which is extra dumb. And I don't know the exact physical health of Baker at this moment. Maybe this is, you know, the camp battle because he shouldn't just be run through the ringer right now. But it will be Baker Mayfield week one through week 17, barring injury.
And Matt Corral drafted in the third round. Sorry to that. But Baker's on the last year of his contract. So he is playing for a new deal. If he plays well, you would imagine he will be the Panthers' quarterback moving forward. But very interesting to watch. You know, this is the type of fun stuff for fantasy football. Before we move into the news, I just want to shout this out real quick. Jason, I don't know if you had seen it. There was an article in the Washington Post. Michael Wardian, you don't know the name, but this feller, he went on like a huge Forrest Gump run.
Oh.
And over 60 days, ran 3,200 miles. The guy raised over $100,000 for some clean drinking water for families. And we got a shout out because part of his inspiration while running was he was listening to songs and podcasts like the Fantasy Footballers podcast.
Smart man.
So I look, I'm just saying that we are so inspirational.
We were the fuel.
That we helped this man run over 50 miles a day.
It's incredible. That's 53 miles a day. You can't do that without the Fantasy Footballers.
Yeah.
At least it hasn't been done to my knowledge without the Fantasy Footballers.
It hasn't been done to my knowledge either.
So, but it has been done with the Fantasy Footballers. So, you know, so that's great.
That's pretty sweet. Good for you, man. That's quite the feat. And we're glad to be the fuel for that running and the fuel for anybody out there who's on the treadmill right now. Let's get into the news.
News and notes from around the league.
So again, Baker, that is the big news of the day. In smaller news now, we're getting reports from The Athletic that the Steelers won't offer Deontay Johnson anything near what Terry McLaurin just got, because McLaurin got that bag. Did you guys catch the McLaurin press conference afterwards?
Ooh, I didn't.
Dude, he's just, he is that dude. He is just such, like, his charisma and likability is, I already knew it was off the charts, but him talking about the contract and everything that he's gone through to, like, earn that, I don't know. It was
better or worse than Jamal Williams?
Well, Jamal Williams is just, like, a goofball.
Yeah.
He is, he's a fun guy that you want to hang around. But Terry McLaurin seems like an actual true leader of men. But anyways, back to the Steelers. Deontay Johnson, I mean, this seems like the Steeler way.
You knew when the Steelers went out and they drafted two rookie wide receivers, and you've got the long history of them drafting great wide receivers, replenishing that, not necessarily paying their good but not otherworldly wide receivers.
Like when they had Mike Wallace and Antonio Brown.
Exactly.
And it was like, well, you got to bring them both back. It was, no. We offered the money to Mike Wallace. He turned it down, and then they got Antonio Brown.
This is why in Dynasty I'm such a big fan of George Pickens, because
sure,
you knew he was going to be a big part of their future. This report, though, for Dynasty says that Chase Claypool, you knew that Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool could not both get paid for the future. That was not one of those two guys, if not both, but one was for sure out on their long-term plans. And it seems to me that they're saying that they would rather have the young receiving core, their two rookies they just drafted along with Chase Claypool, for future years with Kenny Pickett over Deontay Johnson, you know, the smaller, albeit good, possession guy.
And look, Deontay could have a monster season this year and then get paid. It's TBD, but it is very Steelers of them to just keep finding good wide receivers in the second round and a little bit later. We also have some reports here from The Athletic. They're expecting Cordero Patterson to be fully available and able to carry a full load at running back this season. Where are we? Where are we on Patterson?
Patterson is someone that I'd never want to draft.
I'm sorry, is overly optimistic.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he will get enough workload. He will certainly pay off for the first half of the season on his draft capital. No one wants the old aging running back on the team that has as good a shot at any to be the number one pick in the 2023 NFL draft. But Cordero will catch passes. He's always been a really good, efficient running back when given the opportunity. He was great last year, so to start the year with fresh legs, I think he'll be fine. If you wanted to take him in, you know, if you're doing a zero RB build and you're looking for late round guys who can outscore what they have while you wait for the injuries to pop up and scoop up waiver wire guys, Patterson's a perfect play.
Now, you've been best balling a lot
recently.
Are you taking any shots on later round shots on Damian Williams or Tyler Allgeier?
I think Tyler Allgeier is a player. I've grabbed two shares of him that I know of. I liked his film. I recognize when you're drafted as late as he was, the odds are not in his favor to get the job. But I actually think he is a talented running back. And obviously with the age of Cordero Patterson, something happens with all the running backs ahead of him. The opportunity will be there, or could be there at some point this season for a big workload.
All right, let's talk about the NFC South.
Let's get divisional.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 13-4, ho-hum, you know, just last season. Their win expectations set at 12 already, which, I mean, judging by their division, they seem to be the clear front runners to win yet again. But we do have some big changes. Specifically, Bruce Arians is out. Todd Bowles is in, which this is a big deal because you have the head coach going from Arians, who was – that's an offensive guy – to Todd Bowles, who is a defensive guy. Yes, Byron Leftwich, still the offensive coordinator and in control of that, but the person at the top has a very different mentality and outlook on the way that football is played. And you had Tom Brady, who was an incredible value for fantasy football this past year, finishing as the number three overall quarterback, throwing 5,300 yards and 43 touchdowns. But, I mean, the dude threw it 719 times.
He could throw it 1,000.
Well, I'm not saying he can't do it because I'm not betting against Tom Brady, the plant man, being
plant man, no.
Being revitalized by all those vegetables that he's eating. But 719 times, that is an absolutely absurd number, even factoring in an extra game for the 17-game season. Do you feel confident that he's at least going to come close to that? Are you fading Brady? Where are you with him?
So I'm down on
Brady.
Which
is for this affects the overall pass catchers as well.
Yeah, I am lower on Brady this year than last year. Last year he was Andy's my guy. Both of us had him in our top five. That was very successful. I had tons of shares of Tom Brady last year, and he was obviously excellent. But you cannot, and this has nothing to do with his age or ability, that the deal with the devil's already been made, so I know that he'll stay around forever.
He's got the golden fiddle.
Yeah, but when you lose Chris Godwin for the beginning of the year, Gronk has officially retired.
Wink, wink.
Antonio Brown is self-retired from the NFL. You can't lose those three players and still throw for the same amount of touchdowns. It does up other players, and I love this offense. We've seen and talked about, you know, wide receiver target share that is missing from year to year goes to the running back. Leonard Fournette looks like a great value this year. He's going to catch the ball a ton from Brady, and Giovanni Bernard probably not even going to make the roster. So I love the value on Fournette and Mike Evans. Those two guys I think are going to be absolute superstars because the Bucs, they lost pieces, and they're still going to be good. No one thinks like the offense is just going to crumble or be bad, not with Brady there. So those guys are where I'm focusing on for the offense. Specifics to Chris Godwin's injury, he tore his ACL in week 15, multiple ligaments, so his recovery should be a little bit longer.
Because we know for sure that is multiples.
That's the latest thing that I read this morning.
Okay, then I am out.
Yeah, so they're going to bring him back slow. I expect him to start on the PUP. The PUP is only four games this year, but it'll be probably October or November before Chris Godwin is back.
Who's being drafted in the fifth round is the wide receiver 21.
Right. If you look at best balls where – right now I would say the sharper drafters are there at this time of year because most of our casual leagues aren't being drafted in July. You've got Godwin and Russell Gage actually getting pretty close to each other in draft capital. In our home leagues, okay, you've got Godwin in the fifth and Russell Gage in the 11th. Russell Gage is an outstanding value. Yes, if you can get him there. To start the season the first month or two as essentially the second target to Tom Brady, he should be like a top 24 wide receiver for the first month or two. So I also like Russell Gage.
Yeah, he's very interesting as a later round flyer. Even though the passing volume is going to come down, there will likely be three pass catchers of relevance for Tom Brady in this offense. Finding out who the third is, and I'm not counting Fournette because I'm saying pass catchers. But like at the tight end position with Gronk out, Cameron Brate I get that noise because like Cameron Brate had some opportunities last year to step up when Gronk missed some games with opportunity or Gronk missed with injury. Cameron Brate did essentially nothing in those games. There are, you know, those the hype pieces, the whispers of Cade Otton. They drafted him in the fourth, which Otton is one of those players where he, you know, like the circumstances, he should have been drafted higher. He fell. So maybe they got a huge value in the fourth.
Doesn't matter. He's
but
a rookie.
He's still a rookie tight end. And if you please look no further than Kyle Pitts, top five drafted tight end, putting up 1,000 yards and really no touchdowns and being not living up to his draft value. But Cameron Brate, we'll see if we get some more news on him going through the offseason. But
yeah,
a lot of fantasy goodness
the
here.
The third piece is going to be an amalgamation of Jalen Darden and Scotty Miller and Tyler Johnson. It won't matter for any regular leagues. When you're doing weekly DFS, you could take a shot at one of those guys. But I would say that there are – I like the value of Mike Evans, of Leonard Fournette, and of Russell Gage. Tom Brady is someone that he's still got the gigantic name. I view Tom Brady and Kirk Cousins pretty similar this year.
That's a hot take.
I've got Brady ahead of Cousins, but the gap in points and what they could do, I expect, you know, them to not be too far apart, and you can get Cousins much, much cheaper.
That's a hot take. Before we move to the next team, let's thank today's sponsors. The New Orleans Saints, a scrappy team. They put together 9 wins last year despite losing Jameis Winston early on in the season. But they've also had some big moves as well. Sean Payton is out. You had some just absolute craziness with their offensive ranks. So last year, 30th in passing attempts, 32nd in passing yards.
And so they had a terrible passing offense.
And yet, 11th in passing touchdowns, which consequentially led to 24th in rushing touchdowns. So that's we would expect that to balance out a little bit more. But let's take a bigger look at this team. Jameis Winston, he was brought back. He is also dealing with his own recovery from a knee injury. But,
I'm looking at this game log. Yeah, the game log is so funny for Jameis Winston. When you cannot hit 150 yards, like he did not throw for 150 yards, he threw for 5 touchdowns.
An 8.7% touchdown rate.
Incredible work there, Jameis. With no wide receivers. This team's going to be very different.
Yes.
This team this year is, we'll put it this way. The moves that they have made this offseason, they didn't go out and trade a bunch for a new quarterback and look to the future. They believe they are a win-now team. That's what they have shown. They have their defensive coordinator taking over this team whose heart and soul now is the defense. And their defense is very, very, very good.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a different team, especially considering you hope to get Michael Thomas back, which if you have not... That's all over the place. If you have not seen the workout videos, plenty of time, plenty of videos online of Michael Thomas running against nobody, jogging against nobody. You know, and these are like hype pieces that every time I see them, I'm like, maybe I should drop them a few more spots. They traded up for Chris Olave. They signed Jarvis Landry. There's questions with Alvin Kamara and the suspension about so what's going on with him right now? He got in the bar fight last Pro Bowl, got arrested. There is surveillance video. It exists. It has not been leaked. People have not seen it outside of that circle. They have leaked the images of the victim, and you would expect that this NFL player can hit hard. So the suspension is going to come, and it's being reported they're bracing for at least 6 games. I don't know if that's
wild.
The case or
that's
not.
That's a new NFL.
Yeah, but the NFL is not going to suspend or likely to not suspend Alvin Kamara until the legal proceedings have run their course. The next event for Kamara is in August.
Woof.
So it's going to be coming close to drafts, and I don't think you're going to know by draft season whether or not, unless they get some kind of stay, because sometimes these NFL players can push their legal proceedings back years. So there is still the chance that his legal proceedings aren't done this season and that the suspension comes next year. So he is one of the craziest guys in drafts because he's dropping right now to like the back of the third, the fourth round in best balls.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, if you don't know, people don't want to be holding the bag. But at the same time, if you take that risk and his suspension goes to the following season.
Or it's just two games or something.
Yeah, I mean, then it's a crazy value. So he's one of those players right now. You can ask me, well, what do I do with Alvin Kamara? I don't know. Nobody knows. You don't know. I don't know. I know all this information, but the answer is it's impossible to know for sure if he's going to miss any games, one game, two, six, eight games. So you just have to roll the dice there and get lucky.
Chris Olave, one of our favorite rookie wide receivers heading into the year. His competition right now to become the number one guy for the Saints, it's Michael Thomas, who hasn't played in forever and is knocking down the age 30. Jarvis Landry, good possession receiver. He's also knocking at 30. Like this absolutely smells like the situation where we get to the end of the year and at some point Olave has a huge breakout game and becomes the number one wide receiver for the Saints. What will that be in this offense? I don't know how high he can go for an end-of-season ranking, but he's incredibly interesting.
He's worth a shot. He's not expensive right now. He's in the in the 40s for wide receiver on best ball. He's dropped into the triple-digit picks, and he doesn't cost that much. But with his talent, with the fact that he was drafted as a top 15 pick, since 2014, rookie wide receivers drafted in the top 15, they average a 19.2% target market share. That is a really healthy number for fantasy relevance, and man, do I, you know, it's like his his teammate that got drafted this year, Garrett Wilson out of Ohio, drafted higher, is the more touted guy. But when I just watched them, I liked Olave better. Like, he was just so smooth. His route seemed so NFL ready. So I think he's worth a shot and could really have good fantasy relevance the second half of the year.
And we are not done talking about the Saints without me giving my thoughts on Adam Trautman.
No.
But here's what I want to say about Adam Trautman. Like, why I really liked him last year was that it looked like he could be the number two option in this for this team.
Mm-hmm.
But so just doing some Adam Trautman research, and this files under things that you could have told me last year during the offseason. So things that we did not know about,
okay,
for Adam Trautman. So in the offseason.
I'm excited because I don't know this.
In the offseason, he developed pilonidal cyst.
That is correct.
That is a cyst that goes on your tailbone, extremely painful. You have to get it drained, removed. That's a whole month. So a whole month, he could not train. He's getting back into it. What happens? Appendicitis. He's knocked out for three weeks, and then he misses multiple weeks in training camp with a knee injury, and that turns into an incredibly slow start where it's like, wow, I was just so incredibly wrong about Adam Trautman being able to do anything for this offense. But then week 8, you saw, like, once he's kind of recovering, his target share over the next four games turns into 18%. Including his big breakout game where he had, 58 and a touchdown, injures his knee, doesn't even get to complete that game, and then he's just toast for the rest of the year. So I'm not going to tout Adam Trautman.
Thank goodness.
But it would not surprise me if he is far more involved and way better. Like, don't bury him just yet. That's where I will put it.
The dirt has already been not only filled in from me.
Yes.
But you can't even see where the grave was dug.
I understand.
The grass has grown over it. He is dead and gone. I would much rather have Taysom Hill than Adam Trautman for fantasy this year, because Taysom Hill last year was, you know, not a tight end. He was like, oh, is he a quarterback?
Right.
What's going to happen? Now they know it's Jameis. And Taysom is training just as a tight end. He's the guy that's paid. He's ahead of Trautman. And so if you wanted to take a shot on a tight end, which I don't really want to do here with all the new weapons, But I would go Taysom over Troutman. But it is fun to talk
not.
About a cyst that we didn't know about. You want to say you want to say that again?
Pilonidal.
Oh man, are you a doctor?
Not a doctor.
Okay.
But not only that, but also the appendix. I am completely out on Taysom Hill. 32 years old is not. Oh yeah, do we want to do a water bet?
Yes, we want to do a bet. End of season, more fantasy points.
Water bet.
And injuries do not undo this one.
Taysom Hill's champion, Sean Payton, is no longer there. The move to tight end is because the contract was written that he gets paid way more money if he is a quarterback than if he is a tight end, and they're stuck. They're absolutely stuck with him. That's a good offseason. Taysom Hill versus Adam Troutman.
Where it matters.
Disgusting. The Atlanta Falcons, 7-10 somehow.
Real quick, Mark Ingram.
Sure.
Are you taking a shot? Are you drafting him in hopes that, you know, if the suspension starts the season for Kamara, that you get several games of Mark Ingram? I know Andy was really happy, got him last round in a best ball, which is good. That's 18th round. I mean, no risk there.
I mean, no.
Yeah, I find myself more and more with you. The more that I've thought through this, Mark Ingram's another Sean Payton guy. Sean Payton's gone.
He's 32 and a half years old.
He's very old. He was very bad last year. Like,
yes.
you know, say whatever you want about the opportunity. He sucked last year. So he's not going to get better this year with a worse offensive line, a defensive-minded head coach, and there's no guarantee he's even the dude. Tony Brooks James Jones Jr.
Oh, no.
Is also on the depth chart. So with a name like that, I think people are going to ask, what about Mark Ingram, and the two of us are.
I get it. If you're super desperate for a guy that will touch the ball in the first couple of weeks, if there's a suspension, but Mark Ingram was a great player in his time. I'm taking upside somewhere else. There's just no juice left.
Yeah.
The Falcons, 7-10, surprising for what happened to that team last year, where you lose Calvin Ridley, your number one wide receiver, to some mental health stuff at the beginning of the year. You lose him again now for a full season after he did the he bet on a game.
You can't bet from the inside, Mike. You can't bet from the inside.
And I totally understand the integrity of the game. You can't have players betting on the game. But I'm not going to get fully into it. But if Calvin Ridley receives a year suspension for a stupid tiny bet, and Deshaun Watson is nowhere near a year suspension, ridiculous.
I would agree with that. It's just a matter of how you look at the year lost. But
anyways, we're not going to get into that. So back to the Falcons. Not a fantastic year. Kyle Pitts did have over 1,000 yards, but was really never. He didn't boom for your team because of the lack of touchdowns. Now Matt Ryan is gone. In is Marcus Mariota. Historically, never provided anything for his pass catchers. Guess you sort of had some Delanie Walker there. And then waiting in the wings is Desmond Ridder, who, not a highly drafted player. They took him in the third round kind of as a, well, he's still there. We should take the shot because we don't have a starting quarterback. Ridder will start games for this team. I know that reports are coming out of Mariota's far ahead of Ridder. Well, yeah, of course. Marcus Mariota has NFL experience. Ridder is a rookie, drafted in the third round, but this injury is the only way that Ridder finds himself on the field, I think, is complete nonsense. You have to know, can Desmond Ridder actually play before the end of the season, because you're going to have to address your quarterback situation in next year's draft.
Well, part of the problem is that Mariota is not a bad quarterback, and that's good if you were the Steelers, where they've got Trubisky, and they're going to win games, and you're trying to still make the playoffs.
Right.
But Mariota is going to keep them in a game or two through the season and be okay. And the Falcons really need that number one pick. They're not trying to, you know, go 7-10 again this season and find themselves not getting the best quarterback. So I do think as the season progresses, you're still going to lose enough games with Mariota where the opportunity to switch and get worse will present itself. That being said, in the meantime, Marcus Mariota, this is just an aside, but I do think over the first month of the season, a streaming guy, a DFS play on a weekly basis, he's had many, many, many top 10 weeks in his past, and he is reunited here with his former coach. So he's not, but the problem is he doesn't support wide receivers. And right. So the big, awesome, great, juicy name of Kyle Pitts, 21 years old, an absolute NFL dominator over the next decade. I don't know what to do with him because he's being drafted in every league I've ever seen that's real as the third tight end off the board.
Yeah,
pretty highly. I don't have him getting to tight end three this year, so I can't ever get myself to pull the trigger on him. But the upside of what he can do, I mean, it's like Ja'Marr Chase. When a guy is bigger, faster, stronger than all these other athletes, and people just can't catch up to them, that's what Kyle Pitts is. He could dominate. He could end up with 135 targets as a tight end and completely dominate. But I just, with the quarterback situation here, I can't get myself to ever pull the trigger. Do you think you'll have any shares of Kyle Pitts? Can you take that upside chance?
I don't think I will be like overweight of where I'm drafting Kyle Pitts.
Oh, so it's a fat thing. So I'm going to be overweight.
I wasn't going there. That was a self-shame.
It was
self-dunk.
Self-dunk.
but I totally understand taking him as the third tight end because if he could have a Darren Waller season where Darren Waller, elite athlete, finds himself in a situation where he's the primary target and huge target share for Derek Carr, and he's fantastic. You didn't have to draft him with a third-round pick, so you weren't heavily invested. But I totally understand the reason for Kyle Pitts being there. I agree with you that it's very tough to take him when I see so much risk and so much downside. And with the other guys who are available in the third,
that's the huge.
It's very, very. So the opportunity cost is what's holding me back.
That's exactly right. The opportunity cost. We're going to talk about that a little bit in our best ball segment today, specific to tight ends, with some examples that are like it. It's a I hate saying this because of the talent that could just scorch earth, but it is a mistake to take Kyle Pitts this year in the third round.
So Cordell Patterson, we mentioned him a little bit. It's always nice to have a running back who has pass catching in his profile, you know, a converted wide receiver, so it's interesting. A reworked wide receiver room here. You have the high draft pick, Drake London, who is a towering man. He's very interesting moving forward for his career. I would much rather, if I'm taking a rookie in my redraft leagues or my best ball leagues, I'd rather have we just talked about Olave. I would much rather go that direction.
The stat about a 19.2% target right. share for top 15 drafted wide receivers applies to both of these. Both of these players were drafted in the top 15. If you had to say who's more likely to have a 19.2% target share, it's Drake London, not Chris Olave.
Sure.
Because he's the wide receiver 1, 2, and 3.
How dare you put disrespect
on the wee little man?
No, not the wee little man. The player that this team looked at their wide receiver room and they said we have a hole. We just need to add one piece, and they did it. So they went out and they made a trade this offseason. Jason, did you forget about this?
I forgot.
Bryan Edwards.
Oh my gosh,
is on the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh man, this is embarrassing. It's going from
for
Adam
you.
Adam Troutman to Bryan Edwards. Oh no,
I am not touting Bryan Edwards only because of Marcus Mariota, though.
Yeah,
let the record show that if we had an elite quarterback here, we would be back in.
I would agree with you. I would take Olave over London, even though London will have the targets probably more assuredly than Olave will, but it's because of the quarterback situation. Touchdowns and, you know, offensive rank, it's probably not going to go well. I mean, I don't know if this is very sticky, but last year, the Falcons were the 31st in plays per game. So the opportunity to have bad opportunity was low. So it's just like you don't really want pieces of this offense other than Cordarrelle Patterson.
On the defensive side of the ball, the Atlanta Falcons, Not a good season.
No.
27th in rushing yards allowed. And we have this incredible quote here from Kyle DeBoer Gogan, our resident Atlanta Falcons truther, homer, expert. Some men piss excellence. Dean Pees defense.
Dean Pees.
The guy's name is Dean Pees.
Yes, that's on your mama.
What do you want me to do?
That's on your mama, Dean. That's not on us.
Well, yeah. Gonna leave that one alone. Panthers 5-12. This team has completely been shooketh with the trade for Baker Mayfield.
I mean, what a competition at quarterback they're gonna have.
I'm gonna give Matt Rhule a little bit of leeway here. The trade last year for Sam Darnold, I totally understand where they were. They were in a situation with you have a good defense, you have offensive playmakers, you have to find a quarterback. You took the shot. The extension before even seeing him play, I don't know. That was a dumb gamble.
That was unnecessary.
Yes, it was very unnecessary. We got to get out ahead of it, because if Sam Darnold has a huge year with the quarterback market, we're going to have to pay him a huge amount of money. But was a bad gamble then, and the egg is on their face because of it. So I will give them the leeway there. If there is, in fact, a training camp battle and you are splitting reps with the ones between Baker and Sam Darnold, and you don't just make the full commitment saying Baker is our guy, we need every single rep that he can get in the limited amount of time to be prepared for an NFL season, I will be furious and completely out on Matt Rhule.
I am there as well. A lot of what the Panthers' projections here going forward are going to be determined upon are what is your belief in Baker Mayfield. And I'm not hedging here. I believe that Baker Mayfield is a good quarterback, but I don't think he's a top 10 guy. And
that's
so
fair.
From a fantasy perspective, I have this top 10 things to remember that, I mean, it was perfection last year, and we've got a couple of situations where it's trying to hammer home that the hope, this is Carson Wentz, this is Baker Mayfield here, that the hope and the hype of these middle-tier quarterbacks that are going to come in and rescue the franchises from their bad quarterbacks, it's not the fix. It's not going to save them. They're not going to be great. Now, it's tough because I really like the Panthers. I think they have a great defense. They're getting Christian McCaffrey back. They have DJ Moore. And now if I believe that Baker is a good quarterback, which I do, this should buck that trend. This should be something that maybe he is the savior. Maybe he is the long-term franchise option for this team. And some of that's going to come down to health early and training camp reps.
Ben McAdoo comes in as the offensive coordinator.
Uh-oh.
I'm fine with this.
Really?
Yeah, I am absolutely. Do you
remember how bad he is?
I think he's a bad head coach. Not everyone in the NFL is built to be a head coach. I think this is fine bringing him as the offensive coordinator. At the wide receiver room, you have DJ Moore, great talent. I agree, Jason, that I'm not going to. This doesn't all of a sudden move DJ Moore in of the, yes, this is it. This is the top 12 year for DJ Moore. But I mean, being drafted as like the wide receiver 17. If he stays right around there, I will be more willing to draft him at the back of the fourth, top of the fifth.
Yeah, I mean, DJ Moore has been disappointing and inconsistent, but over the last 3 years, which are his 3 years in the league, not his rookie season, he was the wide receiver 18, the wide receiver 22, and the wide receiver 19 and a half point scoring. He's going to be better with Baker than with what he's had. He might not be a superstar, but he's going to be better. That means he is a top 15 wide receiver. Like, that's his new baseline to me.
And he can give you boom weeks.
Oh, certainly.
Like, if the touchdowns actually come for DJ Moore here with the switch to Baker, he will give you plenty of weeks where he wins you the week, and I like it. Now, but for the other guys, though, Robbie Anderson finishing with an average of just over 30 receiving yards per game, or Terrace Marshall Jr., one of the lowest yards per route rung among rookie wide receivers since 2014. Who's going to step up?
No. If I had to pick one of those guys, Robbie Anderson or Terrace Marshall Jr., I would go with Terrace Marshall.
Really?
I would, even though he was an abysmal, atrocious mistake of a rookie. I loved his film, but you don't get much worse than that. Think what's happened to Denzel Mims, right? He was a hyped guy. People loved him. He had just a terrible season, and he's poof. Like, he might not make the roster this year for the New York Jets. So Terrace Marshall isn't someone I'm targeting, but he is someone that I am curious about. He was injured for a lot of the preseason and that time, missed a couple games in the middle of the year, had Sam Darnold. I just still believe in the, you know, he's 22 years old. He was a very talented collegiate wide receiver, you know, was part of that three pack with Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase, and is a big-bodied guy that I prefer over a Robbie Anderson type of player. And Robbie was so bad. It blew my mind today in researching that Robbie Anderson had 110 targets last year. Robbie Anderson did jack freaking squat.
Yes.
He had 110 targets? That's just how bad can you be?
And we need some more time with it, but Robbie Anderson could end up being interesting. I mean, well, it's not great when a wide receiver muses about retiring mm-hmm. during the off season
as he's 29 years old.
That's not really what you want to hear. But and I need to go back and just watch Robbie Anderson, because like, statistically, yes, 110 targets turning into 53 receptions for 519 receiving yards. That is
hashtag bad.
That's unbelievably bad. But was that just Darnold and role in the offense? Because they completely changed how they used Robbie Anderson coming off of the 1,000-yard season, nearly 1,100 yards that he had in 2020. They changed everything, and he became this short yardage guy.
Yeah, it was a.
What if he goes back?
Well, I think he will go back. I think that will be good for Robbie Anderson, but I don't necessarily think that he's getting better, getting closer to 30. And he's always kind of been a head case. There's a lot of bad quarterback, bad coaching decision combinations in the NFL, and his 30 and a half receiving yards per game are the lowest ever among 1,056 wide receivers with 100-plus targets in a season. So, yeah, Darnold was bad, but those 1,056 wide receivers, I'm sure some of them have bad quarterbacks
sure.
too.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just throwing it out there in the realm of possibilities. And because the NFL just works out beautifully sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
The Panthers in week one play.
Drum roll, please.
The Cleveland Browns.
Yes! Let's go, primetime!
Now, this can go so many ways, because this could be Baker Mayfield against Jacoby Brissett. And Jacoby Brissett might beat the Baker Mayfield Panthers. Man. Like, that is, because the Cleveland Browns, the team is good.
Yes.
The team overall is good. Like, the team could just, they could give the ball to Nick Chubb 30-something times and end up winning. Oh, the NFL.
Panthers run D is very good, though.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just, this is going to be a magical week one matchup. Yeah.
Man, do I wish that game was in Cleveland. That yeah. Just Baker going home, all the commercials about protecting his home that is, you're going to have to scrub those commercials.
Yeah, yeah, that didn't work out for them. So let's wrap this up. Who wins the division, Jason?
I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at -300 to win the division. Kyle, do we know, is that the, like, most odds on favorite of anyone to win?
Yes, the best odds.
Yeah, because, I mean, this is like, we're talking Armageddon type catastrophe for the Bucs to not win the division.
Yeah, it's funny because one of my heaviest weight bets of this offseason that I just loved the odds on was the Saints getting second place in this division, which seemed like a guarantee.
Ooh.
Now with Baker and the Carolina Panthers, yeah. Like, oh, okay.
Do you, toughest player to project?
Toughest player to project in this division. I mean, it's kind of a cop-out, but Chris Godwin, I don't know what to do with him.
Sure.
We don't know his current status as far as timeline getting back. Same with Michael Thomas. Those two guys are like, just call it quits on this season. Just give me clarity. That's all I want.
That's rough.
It's rough, but
yeah,
it's what I want.
I'm going to say Michael Thomas, who we haven't seen in forever, but last time we saw a healthy Michael Thomas, an elite wide receiver. And do you have a sneaky player that you want to add, like dynasty waiver wires you're throwing on the back of your roster?
Well, we just talked about Terrace Marshall.
Robbie Anderson might be on your waiver wire.
Yeah, he might. Terrace Marshall might as well. I guess he's young enough where people probably haven't dropped him yet. I would also say Scotty Miller.
That's a good name.
You know, he's usually Brady's preferred guy, or Scott Miller now.
He's Scott? Is he so serious?
Yeah, he grew up.
I am no Scott Miller.
Yeah, he wears a tie and everything on the field. Just a little clip on right so on the front serious. Of the uniform. Also, we didn't talk about him, but Christian McCaffrey is very good.
I didn't feel it. Yeah,
okay. Yeah, we don't need to talk about it. I mean, Christian McCaffrey, if he's on the field, he's great. If he's injured, he's bad. Pick your poison. He's probably even better now with Baker.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just such a nauseating discussion. Christian McCaffrey.
Mm-hmm.
He's very good. So, that's the end of the discussion.
Best Ball Breakdown, presented by Underdog Fantasy.
Speaking of Christian McCaffrey, he is featured in the video bumper of that intro. Have I already brought up how funny it is that he reveals the beanstalk and then is like, nah, bro, I'm going back in the pipe.
Yeah, that's...
like, the beanstalk is... That's where the warp is.
Special levels.
You're skipping to level... I don't even remember
there's
anymore.
There's at least good coins there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're getting...
Do something.
A crap ton of coins, probably an extra life, take you over the 100 mark.
I don't want to go back in the sewer.
And then you're going to zone 5. Yeah. He's like, no.
Come on, Mario. You're better than that.
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
All right. So I'm both excited and a little bit disappointed to share this best ball breakdown today because I've been playing way too much Underdog Fantasy.
Not true.
Well, that is true. Never enough.
Yes.
But this is a strategy that I've been using a lot. There's a lot of data behind it. And so we're going to talk about the tight end strategy for best ball breakdown for Underdog Fantasy right now. There is, in redraft leagues, getting an elite tight end is a true positional difference maker. It's a huge fantasy advantage. Mike, did you win a championship last year with Travis Kelce?
Yes.
Oh, me too. Yes, we shared a team because he was awesome. And he,
especially when we needed him.
Yes. He was great in the playoffs. I mean, Mark Andrews, Travis Kelce, you get one of these guys and they're unbelievably great. But in best ball formats where you are, if you take one of these top guys, you're probably only grabbing one other tight end. It doesn't always work out as well in a best ball format as grabbing three late tight ends because of the opportunity cost that you are giving up. When you grab Travis Kelce in the first round, or this year, Mark Andrews in the second, Kyle Pitts at the 2-3 turn right now on best ball, when you are drafting these guys, you are giving up an absolute exceptional player. And the thing is you don't get necessarily all of those points. Last year, Mark Andrews was great, and he was only a fifth-round pick, so a phenomenal pick, but you only got 65% of his fantasy points on average because that other tight end would, on certain weeks, beat out that tight end. So you didn't actually get all of what Mark Andrews did, even though he was phenomenal. One of the worst hit rates of advancing to the playoffs last year was Travis Kelce, who was awesome. He was being drafted in the first round, 7th overall. He finished number 2 in terms of fantasy points, but he only had a 13% advance rate, which is terrible. Really, really bad. This is really the key here. 9 of the top tight ends in advance rates last year were drafted after pick 150. You had Gronk, Dawson Knox, Jack Doyle, Zach Ertz, Pat Freiermuth, Hunter Henry.
Oh, so Luth.
The Muth was Luth in best ball. as well. Hunter Henry, Dalton Schultz, Jared Cook, Tyler Conklin. These guys were drafted so late, and they all had greater than 20% advance rates because of the three tight end strategy. The three tight end strategy is I'm going to load up my wide receivers, my running backs, you know, maybe a quarterback that's undervalued in those middle rounds, and then I will get three tight ends to just grab whatever has the best week every week. If you've got enough tight ends there and make them really, really cheap. Per friend of the show, TJ Hernandez from 4for4, only 36% of the field used the three tight end strategy, but it had the highest advance rate over expectation compared to two tight ends or four tight ends last year. So this is a strategy I've been employing a lot, not 100%. Obviously, if Mark Andrews is falling, if there's a good value that I like, I think Kittle is probably my most commonly drafted later round guy when he falls to like the late fifth.
Okay.
But here's the tight ends that I really like in best ball. I'm trying to get at least two of these guys when I get the three tight end strategy, if not three of these guys super late. Irv Smith Jr., Cole Kmet, Hunter Henry.
Yeah, that one. Hunter Henry.
It's touchdowns. He's gonna have eight plus touchdowns.
So many 1-for-1 games.
Yeah, Gerald Everett touchdowns. You know, have Big Herb throwing the ball in the end zone to Gerald Everett. David Njoku, Austin Hooper, who's now like the wide receiver one in Tennessee right now, and Mo Alie-Cox undrafted, but you know he's good for 5 or 6 gigantic touchdowns.
He's interesting. I mean, Jack Doyle was one of those names you threw out for the advance rate. Jack Doyle is gone. You have a better quarterback, mm-hmm. and Mo Alie-Cox like should be the primary pass catching tight end. Him ending the season with 6+ touchdowns, I think, is very in the range of outcomes.
Yeah, so that is a good strategy to employ, and that works both in Best Ball Mania as well as in just your 12 team league. So check it out on Underdog.
Saturday's show.
Woo!
There will be a show. It is coming. What are we talking about on Saturday,
Brooksy? We're
answering
people's questions.
Anything and everything.
Oh, baby. So mailbag. How do people get their questions in to possibly get on the show, Brooks?
You can always submit on the website. I look there all the time, but we'll be posting on socials before that as well.
So this is your advance notice. And the voicemail hotline, 302-464-TFFB.
Was that from memory?
No, I read it off the screen, man.
Oh, okay. Great. I was really impressed.
Who memorizes phone numbers?
Well, this is show like 1,200.
Yeah, but
something.
I don't. Andy reads it.
Yeah,
I don't listen to him.
I've never listened.
What a dummy!
I've yet to hear him talk.
That's gonna do it for today's episode. Thank you for tuning in. Ultimate Draft Kit. It's gonna get updated right now. UltimateDraftKit.com, and we will see you on Saturday. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.